My name is Pastor Ben. Welcome this morning to Morgan Park Presbyterian Church on this special Easter Sunday. Before I start my sermon, I want to thank everyone who's been part of our discernment process here at this church over the last 6 months that continues into the future as we discern the future of this congregation and our life in ministry in this community. These prayers written on these various strips of paper are part of that process, that we've been in, and part of our Lenten spiritual process. So I invite you to join in this discernment with me today as we continue together in Christ. God of resurrection, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Our gospel lesson for today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And all that had been commanded them, they told briefly to those around Peter. And afterward, Jesus himself sent out through them from east to west the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Jesus is coming for you. Jesus is coming for you, bringing a message of hope, a message that you are loved, a message that your sins are forgiven, a message that you can be transformed with God. Throughout his life, Jesus enacts God's grace by forgiving the sins of all who seek him, healing the powerful and the marginalized, bringing all into the life of faith. But remaining faithful is a challenge for each of us, each in our own way. In our scripture lesson for today, all the sinners, all those usual suspects who betray Jesus, have already left the scene, believing the story was over. All the men protecting their positions of power have gone home triumphantly, believing that they have won the day for themselves. The religious leaders in Jerusalem have sought to preserve their tradition and their power by turning against Jesus, and the Romans, who responded to political challenge with violence, all slept comfortably in their beds. Many more men stumbled home, defeated and afraid, believing their sins had cost them too much. There was Peter, the icon of faithfulness, whose fear of exposure led him to lie about his connection to Jesus. And there was Judas, who sold his beloved Jesus for silver, unable to believe fully in Jesus' loving vision of the kingdom of God. When it comes to identifying with the sinner, we have many men to choose from, and they all appear to be absent from today's Easter scene. But then, just as the rituals of mourning were about to begin for the women who had devoted themselves to Jesus, these women discovered that they too had betrayed Jesus. By believing that the violent death of Jesus claimed by the Roman Empire would have the last word for their ministry, these loving women who would go to the ends of the earth for Jesus had forgotten the hope that Jesus had continued to teach them. And so the angel kindly explained to them in the tomb, "You will see him just as he told you. He is risen." So in the narrative of Holy Week, we find these different postures for humanity with respect to who we are in relation to the crucifixion and the resurrection. The first is a humanity that falls away from God, unable to bear the sight of God's brokenness and the grief of human existence, like Peter. And the second is a humanity that crawls toward Jesus in the dark, reaching for his body, knowing that he is dead, and in doing so, taking on the full weight of life's inevitable terrors. In the miracle of the resurrection, God comes to us in both of these places. God breaks through the wall that our flight from God has constructed around us, just as God also breaks through the waves of grief that follow out from us when we refuse to flee from the horror and stand speechless and undone in the presence of human brokenness. Both of these provide an honest account of who we are as people of faith. We are both the faithful abandoners of and killers of God, and the faithful mourners who are unable to fathom that Jesus is alive. Mark gives us a powerful account of God's good news by giving us these traumatized, determined women as witnesses to God's truth. It is not just arrogance or falsehood or violent boasting that God redeems as he does for the absent men. It is also the brokenness of the downtrodden who cannot believe that their life could be important to anyone, let alone to God. Jesus is coming for us who turn away from God and God's love for our own profit, and Jesus is coming for us who have been seized by terror and amazement. Jesus is coming for you, whether you suffer from too much boastful pride or you believe there is no service too low for you to enact. Jesus is coming for you, whether you trust confidently that your sins are forgiven or you struggle each day to accept yourself for who you are. Jesus is coming for you because God's love is greater than any power in this world. Jesus overcame death through the miracle of resurrection to proclaim God's saving grace for all the world. During the season of Lent, we prayed to God that we might be transformed by our faith. We presented God with the things that hold us back from a deeper life of faith, and we presented God with our deepest hopes for a future as the body of Christ. Over these 7 weeks, we allowed these conflicting forces in our lives to form together as our prayer to God. And like nourishing compost in our garden, we have been opened to transformation. Our resurrecting God lives today in us as the body of Christ. Our resurrecting God transforms these prayers of deep need and inspiring hope into the lives and acts of love and peace and justice that drive our future together. Our resurrecting God lives and grows in the love that we share with each other. Jesus is risen today. Jesus is coming for you today. Jesus is coming to you hungry that you might feed him. Jesus is coming to you thirsty that you might share your drink. Jesus is coming to you as a stranger that you might welcome him. As someone naked that you might clothe. As someone sick that you might take care of. As a prisoner that you might visit. Jesus Christ is risen today. And Jesus Christ is coming for you. He comes with the grace of God that is for the whole world. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is here for us today. Amen.